This message is brought to you by 12 Stone Church. Pastor Kevin Myers delivers the teaching entitled Stay Pure. This is the fourth message in the series From This Day Forward. We hope this serves you well. Please enjoy.
Well, there is no doubt that Mark was dead on with this whole dating online. This looking for love kind of venture with the online is a multi-billion dollar industry. And I, too, jumped in and been doing some research. And so those of you who are single or looking for love, eHarmony has all kinds of advice. One of the pieces of advice I picked up is you have to make home home, a four-letter word. So here's their advice. Home is a four-letter word. I will get off the couch and out of my house, even when I'm exhausted from work or would rather lounge around in sweats. I need to put my energy into meeting someone because the odds are it just won't happen by itself. Well, there you go. I mean, you just go get all the advice you want. And singles spend billions of dollars a year looking for love. And then, of course, they demonstrate the success of their site. How? Once you get married. They promote. See, you get married, and our site is successful. Because we all know, once you get married, everything is perfect. Because marriage is going to meet all your expectations. In fact, our creative team put together a video that might feel a little familiar. Check it out.
Sam, nice going. Thank you.
Tell him.
Why? Because Sam wrote 2.5 paragraphs and I wrote 37 pages.
Still? Oh, I knew it. You're cheating on me.
No.
Yeah, you are. Netflix cheating.
That's not even a thing.
That's totally a thing. You're on episode 7 by now?
17?
7? You monster. Anything good happen yet?
No.
Hey, babe.
Hmm?
You know what today is? It's Wednesday.
Oh, honey, you know I'd love to, but I'm just so exhausted.
But it's Wednesday.
Yeah, no, it's been a long day.
That doesn't mean it's gotta be over, right? Okay. You know what? Wait right here. I have an idea.
What idea?
I'm too sexy for my love. Too sexy for my love. Love's going to leave.
Yeah. Let's show me some more.
You like this?
Oh, those clothes are so dirty.
So dirty. And they need to be put in their designated hampers. It's getting steamy over here.
Ooh, what are you doing now?
Just making sandwiches for the kids.
Don't forget the mustard.
I would never.
Don't forget to scrub under the lid.
Yeah, got it, honey.
Thank you, sweetie.
Okay, they're fresh out the dryer, I used fabric softener, and I triple folded the towels just like you like them, so.
Come here, you big lug.
Babe? Babe? Babe. Oh, come on.
I'm too sexy for my shirt. Too sexy for my shirt. So sexy.
Come on, that was really well done by the team. See, because of course, we all know that when you get married, you're all done looking for love, right? Wrong. In fact, the statistics across our country indicate that many, if not most, of those who are married go looking for love in all the wrong places. Get this statistic. You ready? In the first decade of the 2000s, adultery in our country doubled. Doubled. And we still have pornography streaming in at greater and greater levels. And mommy porn becomes more and more acceptable. And it's obvious to all of us, if we're candid about it, that getting married does not remove the temptation to impurity. And that's not new in our culture. 3,500 years ago, when God helped the nation of Israel get freed up from Egypt, taking them to the promised land, he delivered the top 10, the 10 commandments. And among those, don't covet your neighbor's spouse. And then do not commit adultery. Jesus, 2,000 some years ago, God in human flesh, Jesus, comes to earth and teaches us about stay pure in marriage. He talks through adultery and the like. To no surprise, the New Testament church, decades later, writing repeatedly, dominant in just about every New Testament letter, stay pure. You're going to deal with temptation to impurity even in marriage. And by the time you get to near the end in Hebrews chapter 13, he gives a great summary. So everybody here across campuses, grab your Bibles. Let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 13, page 1214. Hebrews chapter 13, page 1214. Your worship center Bible just right underneath your chair. And let's dive in. Here we are given this very succinct, to the point, wisdom for winning in marriage. You want a strong, lifelong love. You want to experience healthy, happy marriage. You want the best that God's designed, the things you dreamed of and imagined in marriage. It's really going to come out of this practice. Here you go, verse 4. Now, marriage should be honored by who? All. Marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure. For God will judge the adulterer and the sexually immoral. Marriage. This amazing gift that God has given to us. When God brings a man and a woman together and unites them in a covenant. And God's amazing gift of this emotional, but physical, spiritual, and intimate expression. And they become one. And in that sexual union of God's gift comes procreation and great pleasure. And we say, yay, God, great idea. Thanks for that. And Jesus talks about marriage when he quotes the book of Genesis. And so he's telling us it should be honored by all. Marriage should be honored by those who are married and by those who are not married. Single people honor marriage. The way you honor marriage if you're single is by not doing married things when you're not married. Don't do married things. You're not married yet. And honor those who are married. And when you're in marriage, stay pure. That's his implication. In fact, it's more than implied. It's direct. Keep the marriage bed pure. Stay sexually pure in marriage. Because marriage is the only God-honoring expression for sexual intimacy. There is no other option. Keep it pure. And if that's not clear enough, he goes further. For there is a judgment, a cost, a loss that comes upon those who violate what God put in play in the design, adultery. If you're married and you have sexual union with someone outside of your spouse, it's adultery. If you're single and you go after somebody who's married, it's adultery. But then he gives the other side. Talks about fornication is actually the word for sexual intimacy. It's simply having sex outside of marriage with anyone. Even if neither of you are married, you're living together, casual sex, the list goes on. He covers the whole gamut. Why? Because stay pure is your only hope for the healthy, happy, God-honoring, lifelong love. So God says, I have a great gift for you. Go enjoy this. But to experience this, you're going to have to fight for purity. So we ought to have a candid conversation about stay pure. And to get into that conversation, let's just talk about culture. We live in a world where our culture is kind of hypocritical. From the media to the propaganda. Let's be candid about this. See, our culture will celebrate someone who accomplishes a lifelong love. My father-in-law was married to his wife, Marcia's mom, for 58 years. Now, she passed away a couple of months ago. And I watched Marcia's dad love, care for his wife in the last few years of dementia and Parkinson's. And I'm telling you, watching that was humbling and touching and tearful and an exhausting, self-sacrificing, heroic love. And when a couple wins 58 years of marriage together, there's not an audience from California to New York that would not stand up and deliver a standing ovation for that, because this world recognized that is a beautiful and precious and glorious thing. And we're all like, oh my goodness, that's amazing. Because it is. Because in our soul, every one of us long for that when we say, I do. And the same culture that on one hand celebrates that is the same culture that on the other hand feeds us a box of lies. The same culture that promotes impurity. The same culture that will encourage you to go after the very things that will undo, destroy, mess up the marriage you're in. And they'll deliver a box of lies and tell you it's fun, it's harmless, it's fulfilling. And they'll tell you that with a straight face. They'll encourage the adultery, the pornography, the lust, and all that goes with it. Just a box of lies. We live in a bit of a hypocritical culture. So let me illustrate with this box of lies. There, Jimmy Fallon, on The Tonight Show, plays a game with his guests called Box of Lies. And what they do is they take this stack of boxes, and nobody knows what's in them, not Jimmy nor the guests, and they have to pick a box, and they sit across from each other at a desk, but it's kind of blacked out between the two, except for a little box, or a little window, rather, where they can see each other, and they look at each other through the window, and they have to take a box, neither one knows what's in it, and then one person opens the box, and they lie to the other person, or they tell the truth. But the other person doesn't know. Is it lie? Is it true? And they have to guess and figure it out, and they play several rounds, and winner wins. Here's just an example of one round of it, with Jimmy and Emma Stone. And you'll get the idea. It's kind of a fun, engaging game. Box of Lies. Check it out.
All right, which one? All right, five it is. Oh, it's really heavy. Oh, my goodness, my back.
I can tell that was a faux remark.
Very nice. It's a plate with a with a tiny squirrel surfing. Not on a wave, he's surfing on a piece of lettuce.
Can I ask a question?
No.
You're telling the truth.
No!
Okay, that's highly entertaining. But I thought it would be more fun to actually play the game. So I wanted to play the game, and I think we're going to do that. I wanted to play Box of Lies, and the team decided, all right, if you want to play it, let's do it. And they built a little scene set up just like we saw on Jimmy Fallon. And I'm going to play against none other than Travis Billman. Give it up for Travis. Come on out, Travis. Let's go, buddy. Come on, man. Let's play the game ourselves. I always thought this was a cool game. And so here we go, bud. Let's play Box of Lies. And you can decide which you want. You, do you want to misrepresent, grab a box and misrepresent? Or do you want to me to misrepresent? Or not? You, who knows which way we're going to go?
Because I've always wanted to lie directly in your face and not have my job on the line. So that, I mean, having that option, not that I would.
Right, because who knows?
I could tell the truth.
You could. That's true. I wouldn't know.
I would love you.
And I can't promise whether or not you would not be fired. But that's beside the point. So, okay, okay, you want to get the box.
You're right with that?
Yeah, okay. So you get the box. Help him. Which box should he get? I don't care. Yell it out. Yell out what box he should pick up.
Awesome. Fantastic.
You, by the way, while he's grabbing a box, neither one of us know what's in the boxes. This is true. He has no idea. I have no idea because there's no other way to do this. So this is live.
You cannot look at the screen.
I'm not. This blacks out the screens, so I can't see the screen. But you know what? I'll do this. I'll just close my eyes right here if that helps you. Yeah. Somebody's got to be because I know that you're going to potentially lie or not or mislead. So do your little thing. Why not laugh? They should.
I don't want to give away anything with what is in
unless it's funny.
My box. All right, you can.
Okay, are we in the game?
Yeah, we're good.
Okay, ready?
All right.
So what's in the box, man? Talk to me.
It's beautiful. I'll say that much right now. In my box is an 8x10 photograph of you, like a headshot.
Oh.
Okay.
Uh huh.
But someone like cut out a speech bubble above your head that says, and I'm not lying, Travis deserves a raise. With two exclamation points.
In your
I didn't make this.
Is a picture of me.
Correct.
Which would be glorious. No wonder you were excited.
Right.
With a bubble saying you should get a raise.
Correct.
I'm looking in your eyes to see if you can pastorally pull this off. Can a man of God lie? Oh, that's a great straight face right there, buddy. That's impressive. There is, this is your wish. Or it could be a lie. I don't know. I can't tell with the face. I say you're lying because you want that to be true. It's a lie. It's a lie.
You are correct. It's an ugly eagle clock. Well done.
I win.
Pastor Kevin.
It's all about me.
Awful.
That's so good.
Come on.
Yeah.
I don't know what this is.
Way to lose. Brutal. And you're a very good loser.
So, thank you.
So, yeah.
Very much. Appreciate that.
All right. Well, we're grateful. I want to do one more. Can I do one? I want to do a box. And yell out the box that you want me to pick. And it doesn't matter because I'm picking five. And I'm going to tell you right now, the reason I'm picking five is because the world delivers a box of lies to us. And I already know what's in this box because we need to have a conversation. The things in this box of lies are words like adultery, lust, flirting. And the world delivers this box to us. And they lie straight-faced. We're obviously not playing the game, Travis, but the world's going to deliver this box to us. And they're going to tell us, hey, you deserve this. You deserve to be happy. Your spouse isn't fulfilling your needs. If they were, you wouldn't have to take this direction. But nobody's ever going to know. And God wants you to be happy. Huh. So this is going to be fun. It's going to be harmless. And it's going to be fulfilling. And church, the world delivers that to us. And we look through the window and hear this box of lies. And for some curious reason, we're no longer sure what's true. In fact, many of us start to wonder if the Bible isn't a box of lies. So what are you going to believe? Let's have that conversation. Before we do, let's thank Travis. Come on, let's thank Travis. He lost. I feel bad for him. I'm not going to call him a loser, but it's really close because he lost.
Jeez.
I'm not going to be that kind of winner that just talks about it the whole service and says, I won, and you lost. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to undermine his manhood or anything. I'm just going to say he lost, and I won. And we're going to talk about the reality of what we have to face in this world, which is a barrage of temptations being fed boxes of lies. In a world where God says, if you stay pure, you're going to win lifelong love. This is what brings strength to marriage and family and life. And it's true for all of us. Everybody wins. And so the very first thing of three levels, so to speak, that you have to win to stay pure is right there in your teaching notes. If you want to grab your teaching notes, here's your fill in the blank. The number one is outward purity. Say it with me. The first one is what? Outward purity. Things like the box of lies of adultery. See, this is the world is going to look you straight-faced in the eye without flinching. And they're going to tell you, you ought to be made to feel special. And your spouse doesn't care for you like they once did. In fact, things have grown cold in the marriage, haven't they? Yeah. Cold in the bedroom, too. And God has someone else for you. It's a God thing. It's okay for you. Under your circumstances, God understands adultery is going to be okay for you. Go take care of you. And the world feeds this to us. And we look through that window and we start thinking, you know what? I think that's true. And we get fed a box of lies. So let's have a candid, honest conversation. Adultery will destroy your life. Let's just tell our own soul the truth. Adultery will destroy your life. Because the very first thing that happens is instead of a box of lies around you, you become the box of lies inside you. You become the liar. You have to lie to God, lie to yourself. You have to start lying to your spouse, and you're going to lie to your family. You're going to lie to everybody else. And this will eat you alive from the inside out. You will become destroyed and undone by that decision. It is nothing more than something like you driving down the road of adultery, and it is an emotional, spiritual, and literal relational pulling your car into the oncoming traffic down I-85. That collision is going to take you out, and it's going to take out your whole family, and it's going to take out a whole bunch of innocent people. Because God loves you so very much, created this moment. This moment to arrest your attention, because more people than anyone knows who are listening right now are contemplating adultery. Your spouse doesn't know. Nobody but you and God. You've picked the person. You fantasized. You're starting to listen to the box of lies. And this moment is God's love for you to say, put up a big red sign, stop. You're lying to yourself. And that lie is going to blow up your life. It's how much he loves you. Shut it down. Now, maybe most of us, like the people in Jesus' day, kind of figured out that, well, it's a box of lies. In fact, the majority of people in Jesus' day would say that adultery is wrong. In fact, you can take polls, and they have. The most recent polls in America, not that it really matters what the polls say, but 93% say, oh, no, adultery is wrong. But Jesus, when he stepped on the scene, God in human flesh, and taught about it in Matthew chapter 5, he went a little further. Let me read it for you. Chapter 5, verse 27 and 28. You have heard that it's been said, you shall not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Which brings up the second thing you have to win to stay pure. So there it is in your notes. Inward purity. Say it with me. What is it? Inward purity. Purity. This is kind of the whole lust thing. So we just flip the words around and say, you know what? We live in a world that's going to tempt us with lust. That's in the box of lies. That's going to be spoken and whispered into your life. Here's what the world's going to do without flinching. They're going to tell you, I know you're married. I know you're single. I know you should honor marriage. But listen, come on now. Let's be reasonable. It's okay to look as long as you don't touch. It's okay to window shop as long as you don't buy. Hey, read it for the articles. Huh? It's not porn. It's art. And it'll spice up your love life. It's harmless. We start hearing this from the world as pornography is fed into our lives at a terrifying rate. And part of what makes it so tempting is that it's so available. Like no other time in history. I mean, you even go back to old school. I can take back down to my days, growing up in my imperfect kind of broken family. The only way we could get porn is we had to work for it. Meaning we had to know somebody's dad who had a stash. And then we had to go find the stash. And then nobody had to be home. So, I mean, that's a lot of work when you got to get to a friend's house and find the stash and get, and that's the only way you get access to it. Today, you only have to have a smartphone. And it's available 24/7 to anyone, anywhere, for free. And it's the most terrifying thing. And it's killing us. It is absolutely hijacking and corrupting our view of our own sexuality. And it's a wave over this country. It is escalating the divorce rate. Like few things contribute. It is hampering and hindering men and women moving into marriage because we are exchanging a relationship with technology instead of a real person. So great is this conversation that it has moved from being addressed merely in churches and places of faith in a fight for purity, but the world is starting to have their own conversations, totally apart from us. We've had pornography available long enough, and we've had enough of the counselors telling us that it's no big deal until now they're confessing. You know what? It is a big deal. It's not going to spice up your relationship. It's going to eventually undo it so that you get people like a Russell Brand who's made his mark in, from comedy to Hollywood films. Not a Christian. Not someone that you would elevate and say, hey, you should listen to this guy. And yet, curiously, in one of his rants that's gotten a bit of attention, he's talking about his own wrestling. Sometimes, men and women, we ought to just listen to the conversation of the world because, intriguingly, they've been wrestling with this long enough to confess that what God said is true. I just want you to listen to 2 minutes of an audio from Russell Brand and hear how the world is wrestling with their own thoughts and the implications of what pornography does, even soft porn, even 50 Shades of Grey. Just listen in for a couple of minutes.
The reason I'm interested in the phenomena of 50 Shades of Grey is whether or not it's porn from a female perspective, it is still the commodification and mainstreaming of softcore porn. What does softcore porn do to us? And what does porn in general do to both men and women and the way we relate to each other? Our attitudes towards sex have become warped and perverted and have deviated from its true function as an expression of love and a means for procreation, because our acculturation, the way we have designed it and expressed it, has become really, really confused. Pornography exalts man's sexual need over his need for sensuality and intimacy. I think because I've been exposed to such a lot of pornography from such a young age, it's clear that those phenomena, I personally relate to them. You know, sometimes you read information, you go, now that's a lot of codswallop. Me, pornography is not something I like. It's something that I haven't been able to make a long-term commitment to not looking at, and it's affecting my ability to relate to women, to relate to myself, my own sexuality, my own spirituality. So a film like 50 Shades of Grey, even if it's from a female perspective, hey, it's only a problem when we have women's porn, yeah? Men's porn's no problem. No, men's porn's a problem as well. Pornography, it's like trying to solve the problem of racism by inventing a word for black people to call white people that's equally as bad as the N-word. Well, the direction we should be going in is, how can we understand our sexuality? How can we express it lovingly in harmony with the principles that it's there to demonstrate? The sort of cloud of pornographic information and even soft cultural smog like 50 Shades of Grey and dumb adverts for lollipops and stuff is making it impossible for us to relate to our own sexuality, our own psychology and our own spirituality, because this powerful primal resource, whenever it's plugged in, it's jarring and distracting. I think what it is the circuit in the mind that's connected to sexuality moves very, very quickly. The circuit in the mind that's connected to love and compassion's a little bit slower. So if you're constantly bombarded with great waves of filth, it's really difficult to remain connected to truth.
Isn't that an interesting conversation? This isn't a Christian perspective. It's just that when your mind is clouded by streams of filth, it's really difficult to get to the truth. And the world keeps feeding us a box of lies about lust. And it's difficult for us to discern how much this is undoing, and yet the world's confessing it is undoing us. So what are you going to believe? Nobody escapes the temptation. Let's not get self-righteous in the room or as we're listening. This may not be your particular temptation, but as some have said, if you're a guy, it is. And it's not limited to men. So what are you going to... You're going to have to decide, this is a box of lies, or this box of lies is going to own your life. And all of us stumble. Nobody wins this perfectly through life. We all sin. The question is, what do you strive for? What are you striving for? Because the only hope of a winning, loving, long-lasting relationship is to stay pure. And you say, well, I've messed up, I've blown it, I've stumbled. And this is the good news of the gospel, that God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to give his life voluntarily on the cross to cover your sin debt of death. And more than that, you become a new creation, 2 Corinthians 5. Isn't that awesome? God says, listen, you messed up, but I can make you a new creation from the inside out. This is the amazing grace of God. And even more than that, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, will indwell you and give you power to battle and win against the temptation and these box of lies. Go get in that battle. And when the Holy Spirit does that, he's going to arrest your attention on number three. He's going to bring the third thing that we all have to win and stand against. It's right there in your notes, and that is a hint of impurity. Say it with me. A what? Hint of impurity. This is. I'll just put the word up here. This is kind of flirting with sexual impurity. And I picked the word hint from Ephesians 5:3. Let me read it for you. But among you, there must not even be a hint. A what? Hint of sexual immorality. Or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. And the world will look eye to eye with you. Right through that little window, they'll pull out this box of lies and they'll tell you straight faced without flinching, It's okay to flirt with impurity. It's just a hint. It's not serious. Come on, don't be a prude. It's harmless. It's a harmless wink. It's a harmless Facebook post. It's a harmless text. It's a harmless email. It's a harmless dance. Doesn't really mean anything. Besides, I think he or she kind of gets me. But it's not like it's going to go anywhere. And we get fed a box of lies and we start believing it. By the way, a hint means this. It's when you pretend something is nothing. That's what we're talking about. When you say, oh, it's nothing. Oh, yes, it's something. It's something like when you take your finger and there's a domino right here and you just give it a hint, a little touch, a little push, and you just dropped one domino. It's nothing. It's nothing. But then we know what happens because it's something. Because one domino topples many dominoes. Kind of like this little 22-second video to visually illustrate. Check it out. You see, all it was, did you watch that? All it was just a little hint. Yeah, it's innocent. I didn't do anything. And that little push of one domino knocked down 54,400 some dominoes, setting a world record for what they call a circle bomb of dominoes. That's what flirting does. See, flirting knocks over a domino that in time brings us right into lust, and in time often brings us right into adultery. And we wonder, how did I get here? But it was just dominoes. And adultery is that big circle bomb that blows up everything. And God says, I have better for you. Don't flirt, don't lust, no adultery. Stay pure. Because the marriage should be honored by all and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. So you need a plan of action. What are you going to do? You got to have, I have a plan of action. I have things. In fact, I'll just run through a few of them for you. And by the way, when I hit this plan of action, I'm assuming that we kind of get where we left off last week with Kevin Quinn when he talked about have fun. Literally to say, have great sex. It is a gift from God. Go enjoy it inside marriage, and you should. And my kids hate it whenever I talk like that. It just drives them nuts. And then I remind them, listen, we'll have to talk about it because if your mom weren't so hot, you wouldn't be here. And they're just going, I said, don't you run away from me. Know this, that this right here is your mom's jungle gym, and it's her only option. It's as good as it's ever going to get for your mom. They said, And that's how I clear the room. If I want everybody to leave in the room, I just start with that subject. Now you got to have yourself a plan of action to help you stay pure. I've got four or five things here that I've jotted down. You'll figure out your own, but if these are helpful, it'll get you thinking. Number one that I jot in my notes is battle lies, L-I-E-S, battle lies. Here's what I mean by this. I've had to settle in my own soul that I would prefer not to be in a battle in this world, but I'm going to be. I'm going to have to battle lies. And know this. You battle one of two lies. You either battle the lie around you, which is the box of lies, and I'm going to have to deal with that all the time. I have to deal with the temptations of impurity that come in my life on an ongoing basis, just like you. I'm no different than you, and it comes my way. And I'm going to have to, or if I don't battle lies there, listen, I'm going to have to battle the lies inside me, and I become a liar. But everybody has to battle lies. So I just said to myself, you know what? I live in a world where I'm going to have to battle lies. Which one am I going to pick? The ones around me, or am I going to let it get inside me? But it's lies either way. Second thing, no secrets. Say it with me, what? No secrets. My goodness. This is the challenging one. I have accountability. I'll just tell you. And it's beyond my wife. I have more than my wife in accountability. I don't even put all that pressure on my wife. I got a couple of guys that can ask me any question, and I have to give an answer for the way I live, for what goes on in my mind, for the temptations. I see anything, I have offensive accountability. I have to deal with it. They have access to my technology. My goodness, this is unsurvivable unless you have accountability. And there are people who have access to your life, a couple of guys that can kick my butt. I mean, that's just part of the deal. Here's what I know. You are only as sick as your secrets. And your secrets are killing you. No secrets. Third, get closer to get further. Get closer to get further. Get what? Closer to get further. What am I talking about? Get closer to God to get further from temptation. Psalm 119, David gave us some insight. We can read it here right on the screen. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word, I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. David has given us some great insight. Here's the thing. You get closer to God to get further from temptation. See, the things that we're doing right now when we gather together and worship, I wouldn't miss worship one every 7 days, because what you're doing is you're allowing the Word of God to permeate your life. You have to have power to stand against a world that feeds you a box of lies. And the Word of God is what allows you to have access to the truth and drive it deep in your soul. You get in a small group with other like-minded people who are striving to walk in purity, and it's an encouragement to you. You get in God's Word daily. You memorize God's Word. You meditate on it. It's going to change you. It's going to draw you closer to God and help you get further from temptation. Number four, never alone with a woman. That's just mine. I know that sounds extreme. But over 20 years ago, we finally settled. I know it sounds dumb. But you know what the truth is? I'm never alone with a woman, ever. Outside of a family member. I'm never in a car. I never travel anywhere. I'm never in a restaurant with somebody. I am never alone with another woman. You're like, well, now that's impossible. What about when you counsel? When I counsel, the door is unlocked, if not cracked open, and Diane is outside the door. You can call it weird or extreme. But I had a counseling appointment where I was helping a woman navigate, and I was all alone in the building, navigate her husband's adultery, during which time she made an indecent proposal. And I realized, oh my goodness, this is inescapable. Temptation will come my way every way it can. I'm just not going to put myself in a place. What's your plan of action? Five, look at my family photo. You're going to think, do what? Look at my family photo, okay? Listen, under temptation, under a hint to impurity, under temptation to lust, or even up to adultery, what I do is I pull out my family photo on my phone, and I look at it in the midst of temptation to remind myself who gets hurt if I go forward. See, I remember what it cost my dad and his marriage, and what it cost me and our family that blew up as a result of these choices. A whole lot of people are going to get hurt. And it helps reset against a box of lies. What about you? What's your plan? As I turn the service over to the campus pastors, there's a couple questions for you right there at the bottom of your notes. What will you do with the box of lies? What are you going to do with this box of lies? And then set your will to stay pure. In other words, what's your plan of action? So our campus pastor, Mark, is stepping up. And right here in the room, we want to have a moment before God. So would you bow your heads with us? Mark's going to lead us in prayer. These are weighty matters. Mark, pray for us, would you?
So Father, we come before you, and I think of this term purity, and I don't know if there's a more pressing issue in this nation today. God, it messes with us, and maybe the world is right. It's, you know, it doesn't matter. But ultimately, God, we know that deep down, adultery destroys life. Like Kevin said, much like a head-on collision on I-85. Many of us in this room have experienced this destruction, either as a result of our own choices or someone else's. And so, Father, we pray for those right now who are struggling with purity. for those who are on the brink of adultery, for those who are flirting with the idea, maybe even playing things out in their minds. Well, God, would you arrest those thoughts? Would you cleanse them? Help them take a stand against this lie. And God, fill us with your Holy Spirit so that we can walk in new directions towards you. And God, I pray for those who have crossed lines. Internally and externally, they're experiencing this destruction, this breakdown. I pray for forgiveness, for restoration. And God, would you do what only you can do? Your word says that when we confess our sins, you are faithful to forgive. And so, Father, give us the courage to confess that we might know the power of your forgiveness. And Lord, whether we're married or single, strengthen each one of us in our purity to rise to new levels of inward and outward purity. We know, God, that this will strengthen all the relationships in our lives, but especially our relationship with you. And we ask all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.